Take your Bibles with me and turn back to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 14 here in just a few minutes. Have you ever run a race? I don't mean maybe recently, but have you ever run a race? Running a race requires focus. It requires some physical exertion. It maybe requires some perseverance. It means that if you're going to run a race, you're in it for the long haul, however long that may be. You want to get from the starting point to the ending point you want to finish. And that may mean that you get rid of all the distractions that keep you from running. You don't turn around and look backwards, but you focus on what is in front of you. You don't quit. You get to the finish line. The Bible often compares the Christian life to a race. And there are different kinds of races. There are short races like the 100-meter dash, and that's not what we're talking about here. It's definitely not just going for a nice stroll in the park. It's a more than just a nice little walk. The Christian life is a challenge. It's a daily challenge. It requires some focus on our part. It requires some effort and perseverance to overcome the obstacles that are in our way. It's a long-distance race and requires a strong forward focus to keep on going. You don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, today I think I'm going to run to the grocery store. I got a couple errands, and I've never run 25 miles before, so I'm going to go run a marathon. We don't do that. We don't even get up and say we're going to run a half a marathon or a 5K. It takes some effort. We decide that we're going to begin. I think I'm going to train for this race, and so we begin to do that. And we set some goals for ourselves, and then when we feel like quitting, we push through. And eventually, if you have that goal to run a race, you get to the race day, and you go through and you finish the race. You may not finish first or second or 40th or 50th, but you finish the race. You finish the course, and the Christian life is similar. There's a finish line. And too many times we see believers that quit before they ever get to the finish line. Let's read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, these few verses this morning. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Too often, we either live in the past or we live in the future. We look and say, I wish I would have done things differently. I wish my life would have been different. We look at the past, or we have this idea, we keep looking into the future, and we have this calendar of things that we have to do, and we're so focused on the future that we miss what's going on now. And I get it, because I'm a planner. I like to plan, and I like to make lists so that I can check things off my list. I do. Every Monday, I'll go to my office, and I'll make a list, and there's nothing more satisfying than to begin checking things off the list. But sometimes, we get so focused on what we have to do to get those things checked off that we miss what's happening in our life right now. We miss things that we could do right now because we are focused on that future or we're focused on that past. And so right now here this morning, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and just be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. Take a moment today, right now as we're here, and just think about where you are. Notice Paul's honesty. He doesn't claim that he is perfect. He doesn't claim that he has made it as a Christian. He doesn't say that he has already arrived. He realizes that he is still on a journey. And Paul says that he still has a long way to go. And he shares this honesty with the Philippians. Now, remember, as we read earlier in this chapter, he gave a list of his credentials. And he said these credentials were not enough. And he could have went on and he could have said, but let me tell you about my Christian life. I gave you all the credentials before I met Jesus. He could have said, but look what I've done since I've been a Christian. And he does that in other places. He talks about these things. But he said, look, I could look at all these mission trips I went on. Look at how great I was. And I went here and here and here and I served here. And look at all these people that I led to the Lord. There were lots of people that I shared the gospel with, and they just responded in amazing ways. And look what I did here, and look at all these churches that I started, and I've done all this, and look at these people that I've invested in, and they're also doing ministry. And so I have done all this, and I have done all there is to live as a Christian. I am the great missionary Paul. I have done everything. But he says, instead of saying all this, he says, I have not arrived yet. And if Paul has not arrived, then why would we think that we have? And for that matter, what makes us think that we should have already arrived? See, far too many people are struggling today in our churches because they think that by this point in my life, I should have it all figured out. I should be perfect. I should have matured in my faith. I shouldn't be struggling anymore. I shouldn't be doing these things anymore. And they're struggling through this. And I've had this conversation with people. You ever been there? You look around the church and you say, man, everybody else is smiling. Everybody else is doing well. Everybody else is serving Jesus. And what's wrong with me? Why am I struggling so much? And we need to be honest about where we are. We need to be honest and not give the impression that maybe our lives are perfect and other people's are not. Anyone here really, truly already arrived? Any perfect people hanging out with us here this morning? You may not believe this, but I haven't arrived yet. And you may or may not believe this, but I'm not perfect. Why are you laughing? I'm working on it. I'm striving, but I'm not there yet. And that's Paul's point. Be honest about where you are in your Christian walk and let other people see that honesty and see that we still have work to do. We are still on the journey. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship and we are created to do good works. He has a purpose for us. But if we are going to fulfill a purpose, we have to start by being honest where we are. Spend time really, truly seeking Him in His Word. Not just reading His Word, but seeking Him in His Word. Seeking Him through prayer. Walking with Him and allowing God to lead you. Making His goals your goals. Be honest. Walk. Align yourself with Him. But too often, we're too busy looking backwards. Sometimes we don't believe that God really has something good for us because we know the things that are in our past. And we still live in our past. And you'll say things like, Pastor, you don't understand. God can't use me. You don't know what I've done. I've been divorced. I've been in prison. I really hurt some people. I have some sins that I'm not even going to tell you about. I don't even want you to know. But God knows, and Pastor, God can't use me because I have these things in my life. Or you say, you know, I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been abused. My parents weren't good to me. I'm broken. I'm broken, and I really don't think that God can use me. Let me tell you this morning, stop letting Satan lie to you. And some of you this morning need to hear that. Stop letting Satan lie to you. You do not have to let your past define you. God has made you a new creation. You are His workmanship. You are new. Let the past go. It is okay to let the past go. The good in your past, the bad in your past, it's your past. God has something in your future that He wants to use you. And sometimes maybe that stuff that we're holding on to, that we say God can't use us because I have this, are the very things that God will say, I'm going to use that. Those are the things that I am going to use in your future. That's part of my plan, is to use your past for your future. God has a plan. Do you ever look back in such a way that keeps you from moving forward? Maybe you're one of those people that live in the good old days. You look back at the good old days and you're not being used now because you're still putting yourself back to something good that you did. And I've learned something. The older I get, I'll tell you, the better the good old days used to be. Right? It's true. And I've played sports my whole life, and I find myself as I get older thinking, man, I was better. I remember myself being better than maybe I actually was. The good old days were so much better. Some people look at their past successes and all their achievements and accomplishments, and when they look at their life and say, all things I used to do, you know, if you share your testimony about what God is doing in your life, there probably should be something current in that testimony. Tell me what God's doing. Tell me your story. Well, I was saved when I was six. Okay, well, six was a long time ago. I was a leader in my youth group. When I was in a youth group, we used to do these things. Yeah, but you're 50 now. What else is God doing in your life? I shared the gospel with a friend once, and I saw some people get saved. Okay, but that was once. What are you doing now? I taught Sunday school class. I used to serve. I used to fill in the blank, and there should be something current and not living in the past. Instead of serving God in the present, too oftentimes we take comfort in what we've done in the past. And sometimes churches can be that way. Sometimes churches can fall into that. When we say, well, our church used to do such and such, and our church used to do this, and we were, you know, we did these things, and we can get so caught up in how good we used to do things that pretty soon we find ourselves not really doing anything, and we're living in the past and not in the present, and definitely not focused on the future. See, as we grow, the way that we serve may change. The way that we do things may change. But the fact that we need to serve and the fact that we need to follow God and the fact that we need to know His purpose, that remains the same. Some people have the opposite problem. Instead of looking at their past successes, they're focused on their past failures. And they look at the ministry stuff they used to do, and I said, well, you know, I've tried ministry, but I wasn't any good at it. I failed, and since I failed, God, I don't want to do it anymore. I used to teach children Sunday school class, but I started to teach children, and I realized something really quickly. I don't like children. And so I quit. And I'm not going to do anything else because that didn't work out. I sang in the choir once, and they made me quit singing. And I gave everybody around me a headache. And if I can't sing in the choir, then I can't really do anything. So I quit. I'm not going to do anything anymore. Maybe I have no talent. I can't be used, and so we don't do anything. And sometimes we just quit for no reason at all. If this is you this morning, let me offer you some encouragement that God still has something for you to do. And God is a God of second chances. And God is a God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. And our failures oftentimes are things that God will use to move us into the future. Maybe you try to teach children and you realize that's not your thing. But God has something else. And maybe singing the choir is not our thing. But God has something else for you to do, and it's okay. If we keep looking backwards, we will never look forwards. And as Christians, we need to forget what lies behind and strain to what lies ahead. Do things that benefit our future. Again, make God's goals your goals. If you're going to press on toward the goal that God has for you, you should probably have goals. It's really difficult to achieve goals if you don't have any goals. You know, you can say things like, okay, my goal is to be a millionaire. Perfect. But how's that going to happen? How do you measure that? What are you going to do with that? You know, my goal is to do such and such. It has to have something that's measurable. And so I talk to people all the time when they look at setting some ministry goals or personal goals or of having things that are measurable and attainable. It's nice to talk about reading your Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. Perfect. But what does that look like? How do you make sure that happens? Well, maybe you set some goals. I'm going to read one chapter a day. Can you measure that? Yes. Can you know you achieved it? Yes. You know, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to have an improved prayer life. Great. But what does that actually look like? I'm going to spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes where I'm going to set some time aside where I'm just going to talk to God. You can measure that. And you can know you can do that. Keeping a forward focus, having goals that you can achieve without looking backwards, getting rid of distractions in your life. He says, get rid of the things that distract us and take our focus off of God. See, even when we set goals, there are so many things that can distract us. How many of you wear multiple hats? How many of you do multiple things in a single day? We all do. We wear so many different hats. You play the role of mom or dad. Employee, boss, if you have a family, maid, cook, maybe you're the home maintenance person, chauffeur for the kids, sometimes you got to play referee a little bit, and somewhere in all of that, you're a child of God. See, if you're like most people, you probably don't want all these things to distract you, but sometimes they can, and they're important things that you have to do, and there's a lot of stuff going on in your day, and it's hard to keep your focus. But you can't run a good race when you're distracted from the goal. And so in all the hats and all the things that we have to do, we still have to keep our eyes on that goal and getting rid of those distractions and living for the glory of God. Paul says, the one thing that I do. The one thing that he does is he presses on to the goal, the upward call of Christ Jesus. What is it that defines Paul? It's his relationship with the Lord. What is the one thing that drives him? It's relationship with Jesus. What's the one thing that takes precedence over everything else in his life, over everything else that he does? It's his relationship with Jesus. And all those other things have to come under the umbrella of, first, I'm a child of God, and I'm walking with Jesus, and it's about my relationship with him, and that is the goal of my life. God's call on your life is the goal of your life. I press on toward the goal. See, some people think that the goal of life is just to get to heaven. If I just get there, if I accept Christ when I'm a kid or an adult, whatever, I accept Christ, and ultimately the goal is to have my mansion in heaven, and I'm going to walk on the golden streets, and I'm going to be inside the pearly gates. That's the ultimate goal. But the goal is not to get to heaven. The goal is that you walk with Jesus, and eventually, when you're in heaven, you're going to be with him for eternity. So the goal isn't the mansion or the streets or the gates. The goal is that you are still walking with Jesus, and you're worshiping with him for eternity, the goal of life. Reach toward the goal. Exert yourself. Put forth the effort. Now, we are saved by grace. I'm so thankful that we're saved by grace. God has extended his mercy on us, and I am so thankful for God's mercy. But Paul also says that we need to work out our salvation. To work out our salvation, he challenges us to work on, figure out where we fit in this plan. What is the goal of us for life? What does God have for us? And to keep going, we have to do that. Pressing on for the goal of the upward call of Christ, of heaven in Christ Jesus. This verse is a verse of purpose, and it's a verse of perseverance. It's a verse that tells us that we need to work to achieve where we need to go. I had two youth in my youth ministry over the years that dropped out of high school weeks before graduation. Weeks. They had all the grades. They had the classes. They just were 3 weeks, both of them, 3 weeks away from graduation. One of them got the job of his dreams and was offered to him right then. I said, your job can't wait 3 weeks? No, I need it right now. And he didn't work that job through the summer, but he dropped out of high school. Another one just said, you know, I'm just tired, and I'm just sick of going to school, and so I quit. Said, you're sick of going to school? 3 more weeks. Nope, I'm not doing it. I quit. We need to persevere. And how do you persevere? You have a purpose. Those students saw no purpose in finishing 3 weeks and getting a degree. We need to understand our purpose. Eyes on the goal. There was a goal. They had spent 12 years almost and didn't achieve the goal of graduation because their eyes were on something different, a good job, just my laziness, whatever it is. There's a goal. See, there's always a goal. And the goal shouldn't be in our life to get a better position. The goal shouldn't be to get a bigger bank account. The goal shouldn't be to get more toys. The goal shouldn't be to shoot a bigger elk or an antelope or a deer. The goal of life is about a relationship with Jesus. The goal of our life is to glorify God. What is your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is to glorify God in whatever you do. And keep that focus on him. Focusing on him, focusing on the prize. As we get closer to the finish line, don't slow down. As we get closer to the finish line, keep going. When the end is in sight, keep persevering. Keep running. The prize is before you. Run the race. The beginning of your race with Christ started the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's when you realize that you were a sinner and you realize that you were separated from God and you needed to accept the forgiveness of your sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. You knew that Jesus died on a cross for you. Your race continues as you walk with him every day. As you walk with Jesus and you go through the ups and downs of life, the good and the bad, you are continuing to run the race. When the struggles are there, when the successes are there, you're running the race. And in the end, at some point, you stand before him in glory. This is the race that is set before us. Get rid of distractions, focus on the goal, forget what lies behind, and looking toward what lies ahead. I'm going to ask you to consider this morning, where your life is. Are there things in your life that are keeping you from Jesus? Are there things in your life that are keeping you from surrendering your life to Him? Maybe even this morning, for the first time, saying, I am going to become a child of God. I want to know what it means to be a Christian, to be saved. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to let some of your past go so that you can live for Him today. Maybe this morning you need to get rid of some things in your past and say, okay, those are gone. That's my past. I'm going to live for Him today. And maybe here this morning, you need to focus on your future. You need to make a decision today so that you can live freely for Him. Are there parts of your future that you need to turn over to Him so that your goals line up with His goals? See, the Apostle Paul said, I have not arrived. I'm not there yet. And so this morning is, we are here. There is not one of us who can say this morning, I'm good. I have arrived. I have done everything that I need to do. I'm going to kick back and I am good. Every one of us needs to listen to the voice of God and to continue to seek Him every day, what God has for us. Listen to the voice of God and respond to Him. Maybe the race is going well for you, but you're still on it. Maybe you're struggling and you need to just say, God, I need some help. Whatever you need this morning, listen to God and respond to Him as we stand together.
When I feel my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempterhood prevails, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, so He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He says are His delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. Oh, He will hold me fast. He will hold. Hold me fast. Raise with Him.